Earlier this week, I was riding around with our lead pastor, Paul Mumaw. He is our fearless leader here at Genesis. We were riding somewhere together, and we were at a stoplight. And it came time to turn when the light turned green. And Paul took a 90-degree turn to the left, and it felt sharp to me. And it was sharp because he turned into oncoming traffic, okay? And I was like, what's happened? Now, when I say Paul's our fearless leader, if he feels conviction from the Lord, we're going into traffic, you guys. We're swimming upstream. A couple things happened in that moment. I learned a word that I'd never heard a pastor say before. That is not true. I made that up. I even hesitated to share that. Paul's got such a heart of gold. That is not Paul's character at all. But I did say, hey, how long have you had your driver's permit? Do your parents know that you're driving today? And then I said, I just want to thank you for the sermon illustration. And I was just letting him have it the whole way there. Now, I will say this, in fairness to Paul, the guy in front of us at the light made the wrong turn first. So Paul followed that guy. But then the guy behind us followed us. And so it was this big illegal game of follow the leader. And I learned a biblical principle, and it applies to where we're heading today in Mark chapter 7. You got to be really careful who or what you're following, because they might look like they know what they're doing. They might talk a big game. They might think they know where they're going, and they might be going to jail, and they might be taking you with them, right? They took Paul away. I got away unscathed, right? You got to be careful who you're following. Now, as we turn to Mark chapter 7 today, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see this literally play out in the life of Jesus, because the religious leaders of the day, they come to Jesus and his disciples, and they are so frustrated with Jesus that he isn't teaching his disciples to follow the traditions of the elders, the traditions that have been handed down generations to generations. And I just want to say, I don't know what your view of Jesus is, but if you have never been exposed to this story, you might want to buckle up, because Jesus gets a little salty today. He name calls people. He digs in. And here's why. Jesus knows that it is dangerous for any one of us to follow a person or a tradition or an ideology or a religious belief or anything that we think, well, it's harmless, or maybe it's pulling me closer to God. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Jesus wants us to be very careful who we're following, so that we're growing closer in our relationship with God and becoming more and more like him. So that's why he speaks out so strongly today. And I just want you to know, we're gonna pray in a moment. And I wanna ask the Holy Spirit today to correct us and to convict us of some things, some traditions that we're holding on to real tight that we might have to let go of, so that we can walk the way that Jesus wants us to walk. So with that in mind, I wanna invite you to stand. We're gonna read through Mark chapter 7 together, and I wanna remind you why we stand. This is our way of saying, hey, God, we believe that your word is our authority in life. And so we trust you. And so it's a heart posture that we're taking towards God and his word. And I also want you to notice, I've got some words that'll be underlined as we go along. And I want you to pick up on the theme of where we're going today. It's pretty obvious. Mark chapter 7, verse 1 says this: the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating food with defiled hands? And Jesus replied, this is Jesus, Isaiah was right when he prophesied that about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And I want us to read this last verse on the screen out loud together. Verse 8, you have let go of the commands of God, and you're holding on to human traditions. That's the problem. And that's where we're going today. Let's pray. Father, it is good to be here today, united under the name of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. You have set us free from sin and death. And yet, Lord, we still want to hold on to man-made traditions and rituals. So Holy Spirit, would you go ahead of us? Would you bring things to mind today that we honor above your word? Would you bring things to mind today that we hold on to, that we got to let go of, so that we can walk closely with you? Father, let your word speak. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. So you probably picked up on the theme of the day, traditions and ceremonies. A tradition is a deeply held belief that's been passed on from person to person or generation to generation. And right away, Mark introduces us to two groups of religious teachers that were big on their traditions. And in verse one, we've got the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Now, if you've ever seen a show or a movie about the New Testament, you're probably familiar with the Pharisees. They had their own dress code, and they were known for always arguing with Jesus about the things of the law, okay? And the word Pharisee means separated one. And many trace this sect of Judaism, this group of religious teachers, back to the Old Testament book of Daniel, where Daniel and his friends refused to let go of the law of God and to give in to Babylonian customs. It could have cost them their life. So they said, nope, we're gonna obey the law of God. Now that's a good thing. However, in the 600 years that followed, this group of religious leaders that started back in the book of Daniel, or traced their history back there, what happened was their genuine desire to follow God's law and to teach others to do so, it actually mutated into an exclusive religious and political party that used its influence to control the Israelites with a variety of man-made traditions. Okay, now we're gonna talk a lot about those traditions today, so pay attention. So that's the Pharisees, that's where the Pharisees got their start. Now, the other group are called the teachers of the law. Maybe sometimes, or maybe your scripture says scribes. Scribes are like lawyers. They were known as professional interpreters of the law of God. Now, this may or may not surprise you, but when you put the Pharisees and the scribes together, they are known as what's called the fun police. They are always arguing with Jesus about something. And their desire was to know and observe the law of God for themselves and teach others to do the same. However, they like to put their own rules on top of God's rules. So don't just obey God. There's a better way to do it. Do it this way, not that way. And they started this tradition known as the oral law, or the tradition of the elders. This is talked about a lot. Have you ever heard Jesus say, "You have heard it said, but I say"? He's going against the tradition of the elders, this tradition that had been handed down generation by generation. And the religious leaders, this is what they did. They would put their laws on top of God's law, and they viewed it as building a fence around God's law. That's really literally what they thought they were doing. Now, what's the purpose of a fence? It's to give you some protection, right? And so they thought, well, we're gonna protect God's laws by putting a fence around it, but with our own rules, our own laws. The problem was, their fence was pretty ridiculous. And they started adding in all these rules that everybody had to follow. For instance, part of their fence, the tradition of the elders, was God said, you shall not work on the Sabbath. You should rest. That's a day to rest, right? Well, the traditions of the elders said, you know what? You shouldn't look in a mirror on the Sabbath, because you might realize that you have a gray hair and you might be tempted to pluck it. And if you pluck it, you'll sin against God. And now you're going to hell because you plucked a gray hair. You get the idea with the tradition of the elders. It was a burden. Now, maybe you have experienced laws and rules like this where you're like, where the heck did these things come from? Our family experienced this a few years ago. We went to Washington, D.C. on spring break, just having a good time with our friends. We had a great time as long as I didn't have to park, because everywhere I went to park, there were signs like this. I think they should just have big signs that say, don't you even think about parking in Washington, D.C. Are you crazy? And I've actually never gone back to see like when you actually could park, but that's crazy. It's ludicrous. This is what the tradition of the elders felt like. A rule on top of a rule on top of a rule. All the fine print, right? Now, with all that in mind, let's go back to verses 1-4 and see what's happening in this passage. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, and they saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is unwashed. Verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. Now, three times in those four verses, Mark mentions ceremonies and traditions and rituals, so you get the theme, right? But here specifically, Mark refers to this hand washing ritual, which symbolized a person washing their hands to wash away any unknown spiritual defilement that they may have come in contact with when they left the house that day. Now, some of you might think, well, that's a great idea. We should all do that. And some of you might say, that's weird. Why would we do that? Well, where did they get this idea? Well, it comes from Exodus chapter 30. God gave a command for people to wash their hands in a certain way. But here's what you need to know about the command in Exodus 30. It was not for everyone. It was for a select group of men who were called to be priests to the people of Israel. It wasn't for everybody. It was only for the priest. And the goal was that they could have clean hands and a pure heart to serve God, to perform their sacred duties. But the religious leaders saw it and they were like, well, shouldn't we all do that? Shouldn't we all want to live our lives like that? And so it became a tradition of the elders where everybody had to wash their hands all the time. And now these guys have come from Jerusalem and they're confronting Jesus. Verse 5, so the Pharisees and the teacher of the law asked Jesus, and I think they were probably a little sarcastic, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating food with their hands defiled? Gross, Jesus. You see where they're coming from, right? But I want you to pay attention to the word live. It's an important word. Some of your translations might translate it as walk. It comes from the Hebrew word halak. And it literally carries with it a picture of someone walking down a well-defined path of righteousness with God. That's a good thing. Psalm 119 uses the same word in the same way when it comes to obeying God's law. So they're like, Jesus, why don't your disciples walk or live this way? They're asking a good question. Why don't your disciples follow our traditions, Jesus? Why don't you do things the way we do things? Now, I think it's a really good question, but I don't think they like Jesus's response. Verse 6, he replied, Isaiah was right. That word right can be translated as beautifully accurate. Isaiah was spot on when he prophesied about you hypocrites. That's pretty strong language, Jesus. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word, two words, hupo meaning under, and krino or krino meaning to judge. And when you put those two words together, a hypocrite is someone who makes a judgment from under a cover. And in the ancient Greek language, the word hypocrite often referred to an actor, someone who was performing because they were wearing a mask. But Jesus is not complimenting them here. He's saying, you guys are a bunch of posers. You're fakes, you're phonies, you're frauds. He's salty. And then he continues. He says, he quotes Isaiah and he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Now, why would Jesus speak out so harshly against these religious leaders who are saying, we just want to help people walk in righteousness with God? Why would he do that? Well, the answer is in verse 8. I want us to read it out loud again. It is so critical to this passage. Read it with me. You have let go of the commands of God and you're holding on to human traditions. There's something you're holding on to, something you're letting go of. And in this instance, they let go of the wrong thing. They let go of the commands of God for the traditions of the elders. And here's something you need to know about the traditions of the elders. Over the years, these man-made rules and teachings, they had come to be held not on par with God's word, but superior to God's words. Rules that men made up took precedence over the actual word of God. I'm gonna give you two examples. The Mishnah is a collection of ancient Hebrew traditions. It's found outside of the Hebrew Old Testament, but it kind of has all these traditions together. And the Mishnah says, it is a greater offense to contradict the voice of a rabbi than to contradict scripture itself. You can contradict God's word, just don't contradict the guy teaching it. That is a bad idea. I don't agree with that. Another saying was this, listen to this. If the scribes, if the religious leaders say that our right hand is our left and our left hand is our right, we are to believe them. That's crazy talk. That's being taught in schools today. Maybe this is where it came from. This is wild. And this is the kind of teaching that was propping up the tradition of the elders. And it's not just, Jesus wasn't afraid of a slippery slope. He's like, this is wrong. This is spiritually reckless. You are ignoring the truth of God's word for what some sinful man or a bunch of sinful men agree is right and good and best. And so Jesus speaks out strongly. And he says, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. You're making loopholes for people. You're pretending to point people to God when really you're just doing what you want to do to get what you want. But in reality, I think Jesus said it best. You're just letting go of the commands of God to hold on to your human traditions. And I think this is a good place for us to take a step back for a moment and to ask ourselves a really important question. Where do you and I let go of the commands of God to hold on to human traditions? How do we do this? When do we do this? This is the part where I want to invite you to say, Holy Spirit, show me, teach me. Because we all do it, guys. Just think through your church experience growing up. No matter how old you are, you've seen some weird church traditions. Have you ever been to a church where people argue over the style of music? It's got to be this way or that way, or we can only teach out of a certain translation of scripture. That might be a rough tradition that somebody's got to let go of. My wife grew up in a tradition where there was no instrumentation. Everybody sang a cappella. And I'll never forget the day that she invited me to come to church with her. And I thought, cool, I'm not coming back here. I don't sing like that. It just seems so odd, but they're like, no drums, no guitars, right? And you're like, okay, what about dress codes? You ever heard the phrase Sunday best? Doesn't it seem like a good Christian tradition to look so good on Sunday that no one else during the week would recognize you? We would say, oh, we're doing it for God. We're doing it for God. Yeah, maybe, maybe not, right? And by the way, we do have a dress code here at Genesis. And it's just, yes, please, just wear some clothes, cover yourself, right? You don't have to get down in the weeds on that stuff. But let's go one layer deeper. How many of you are like me? And you got your own little set of rules. You're like, I trust God's word, but if I do these things, if I give the first 15 minutes of my day before I'm even able to collect a thought to reading scripture, that'll make me a good person. That's what God really wants, right? You have any rules like that in your life? I think we all do. We got our little religious rules. I grew up in a tradition where we were taught the value of memory and repetition and ritual. And so what I learned was just you do the do's and you try not to do the don'ts. You just be a good moral person, be the best version of yourself. And then you know what I learned? That didn't work. I learned that I was a sinner and I needed someone to forgive my sins. And I put my faith in Jesus. I was saved by grace through faith, forgiven. I was set free. And I'm learning how to walk with him by the power of his Holy Spirit to become more and more like him. But can I be honest with you? I can easily slide back in my old traditions and get these little boxes that I gotta check to please God. And I don't want a relationship like that with anybody. Why would God want a relationship like that with us? And so I think we've gotta search our heart for those little religious traditions that they don't hold water. They don't stand up to the word of God. But there's one more human tradition that I wanna lean in on. And this one is affecting all of us. It's that good old American tradition of pledging our allegiance to a political party over and above Jesus, above all else. And it's not one party or the other. We all do it. And if there's anything that we can learn from current events over the last few years, it's when something happens, everybody wants to lead with their politics first and get in line with their political party. And if Jesus fits in, yeah, we'll invite him along too, but he better get in line. And everybody wants to use Jesus. But how often do we get in line with where Jesus wants us to go? And guys, we live in a world right now, it is so politically charged. Some of you are assuming that I'm saying something that I haven't even said yet, because everything is so politically charged. And how's it working in the world? It is divisive. It's a hate fest. Not surprising. You know what is sad though? It's in here. It's in the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ that gather to sing songs and share communion. And then we'll point our fingers at one another and shout and just be ugly over our political leanings. Now guys, this is our authority. And we should use our voice and our votes on things like life and how God defines marriage between a man and a woman and with gender issues. Jesus says, didn't you know in the beginning God created the man and woman? Okay, thanks for clarifying that. That's helpful. Now, does that mean that we get to be jerks to everybody else that doesn't believe the way that we do? No. We just need to move with Jesus on these things, move with the authority of God. But we also need to remember that Jesus said, I want you to love your neighbor the way I have loved you. I want you to serve one another the way I have served you. Yeah, Jesus, but what about all the people that aren't like us? Oh, I'm glad you asked. I want you to love your enemies and to pray for those that persecute you. I think we got everybody covered, right? That's the way of Jesus. That's the way of Jesus. So where do these, now I'm gonna step back. Think of the traditions that are being embedded in us, political or otherwise. We got algorithms that feed us stuff that we already agree with so that we're pulling away from the people that we disagree with. We have professors and teachers that are trying to push an agenda. We have influencers that are telling us what to value. Hollywood weaving plot lines to make everything that's weird normal. Social media stirring the pot. And then there's the comment section that is a dumpster fire of hate, and it is being embedded in us. It's our new tradition. Hey kids, here you go. We're gonna hand this off to you. This is the way we do what we do. We knew better. We gotta ask ourselves, where are those things coming from? Why are they there? What do I need to unplug? What? Gotta let go of it. Where do those traditions come from? I heard a story about a lady recently. She was making dinner. She's making a roast, and she cuts the ends off the roast. She puts it in the oven. Her husband's like, what are you doing? Why are you wasting the ends of the roast? And she's like, this is the way my mom always did it. So she calls her mom. Hey mom, you told me, why did we cut the ends off the roast again? I don't know, that's the way my mom did it. So they get on a three-way call with grandma. Hey mom, grandma, can you tell us, why did we cut the ends off the roast? Guys, I cut the ends off the roast because it didn't fit in my pan. And now there's this family tradition. That's the way traditions work. We laugh, guys, we are practicing traditions like that. And with these traditions of the elders, Jesus is saying, he's not just saying you need to reevaluate, he's saying you need to repent. You gotta open your eyes, this isn't good. Look at verse 9, Jesus said, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother should be put to death. What does Jesus do? He says, you wanna talk about the law? Let's go to the gold standard, let's go to the 10 commandments. Specifically commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother. Did you know that on two occasions in the Old Testament, at least two, Exodus 21, Leviticus 20, if you break the fifth commandment and you don't honor your father and mother, students, listen up, you can be stoned to death. Jesus is saying, you wanna talk about the law? Let's talk about the law. Let's go there. Jesus continues, verse 11. But you say, you teachers of the law, you elders of the people, you protectors of human tradition, you spiritual parents, you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or their mother. Now that word korban, it just means offering or given to God. And in this instance, you could take any and all of your resources and say, I'm setting that aside for God's purpose. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Well, the culture in those days where you use your resources to take care of your aging parents. But the teachings of the elders said, well, if you put it all in this tax shelter called Korban, then it's all dedicated to God. And you can look back at your parents and say, I know what God said in the fifth commandment, but I don't want to misuse it. So take it up with him. Sorry, I can't help you. But you know what's crazy about Korban? You can un-Korban something. So they could say, as long as mom and dad aren't looking, well, we're going on a cruise with that. But we can't do it anymore. This was the tradition of the elders. Creating little loopholes for people to ignore the word of God and to sin against him. And Jesus was speaking out about it. Look at what he says in verse 13. When you do this, you nullify the word of God by your tradition, by making all your little loopholes that you've handed down. And he says, you do so many things like this. This is the way you guys do what you do. I think Eugene Peterson summarizes this best. He says, if you don't understand scripture rightly, you will obey it wrongly and your obedience will be disobedience. We gotta be careful that we're obeying the right things, following the right person and for the right reason. Now I wanna take a step back with a little bit of time that we have left. And I wanna see if we can pull out some basic things that we can apply. Let's just start with this principle of korban. So many of us would say, everything that I have comes from God. He's the provider, and I want him to have everything that belongs to me. All my time, all my resources, it all belongs to God. Whatever he wants, as long as I agree with it. And we start to guard it like this. I'll be generous when I want to be generous. I'll be generous how I want to be generous. It all belongs to you. Just let me, I want to be in charge. Well, he either is or is not the provider. And the problem is we get real guarded with how we do things. And we make our own little reasons as to how to do it. And so maybe we need to apply that to ourselves. What has God given you? You're like, it's yours. I'll give it to you when I want to. It could be true at home. It could be true here. He's called us to be on point for him all the time, everywhere that we go and in everything that we do. And so maybe we just need to ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and say, have I declared anything to be carbon that I didn't know? I want to give it all to you, everything that I have to give for your glory, Jesus. But let's drill down on one specific thing that Jesus said, verses 6-8. He quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And then he goes back to verse 8. You have let go. You have let go of the commands of God, and you are holding on to human traditions. Now, it's really important for us to know he is saying this to the religious leaders of the day. But when I read it, I feel like he's talking to me too. Don't we all hold on to some things and say, yeah, God, I love your word, but I kind of like my way better. You got to let it go. What are you holding on to and what do you need to let go of? And so I think this is an opportunity for us to just ask God an honest question. What is it that you want me to let go of? What have I confused for the authority of your word? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and respond in obedience. Repent, turn around and say, I'm sorry that I did that. It's all yours, you can have it. Or I'm sorry. Think about it like this. God convicted me of this recently. If you're a parent, you'll get this. Would you want your children to relate to you the way that you relate to God as your father? You only come to him when things are on fire. That'd be a horrible relationship to have with your kids. He convicted me of this recently. He wants a relationship with us. The way of Jesus, it is not ritual. It is not religion. It's a relationship. And so here's the thing. If we're not willing to step away from our religious traditions, here's the danger. You could go to church every day for the rest of your life. You look really good. Your heart could be really far from him. You could read and study scripture. You could teach people. And your heart could be very far from God. You can pray eloquently, give frequently, serve faithfully, sing beautifully. You can tell people about Jesus excitedly. It is possible to do all that. And your heart can be very far from him because you're just trying to earn something that's given freely. The way of Jesus is not buried in religious traditions. The way of Jesus is freedom. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. And then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So what do you need to let go of? I want to make some room right now for the Holy Spirit to speak because he's going to say it better than I can. So I'm just going to step to the side. And I want to encourage you, bow your head, close your eyes, just have a moment with him and just say, Lord, what am I holding on to that I need to let go of? What have I elevated over the authority of your law? And then just listen and do whatever it is he calls you to do. I'm going to give you 60, 90 seconds. See what he has to say. Jesus, thank you for coming to set us free. If we know you, we know the truth, and the truth, it can set us free, but we put ourselves in bondage with our own silly traditions and religious rituals, with our political affiliations, with all the other things. We get, our vision is clouded. Set us free. Put our feet on your path. We talked about the word walk earlier. Psalm 119:1 says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk, who halach according to the law of God. We want to walk with you in righteousness. Jesus, you said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There's no traditions there. Would you help us to let go of the things that we hold on to and to hold on to you and to you alone? Give us the spiritual freedom that we need, that we crave. Would you help us to pursue you the way that you pursue us in a relationship? Would you help us to follow you in such a way that when the next crisis happens and we're tempted to get in line with the people that vote or think like us, would you just help us to say, wait, what would Jesus say? How can I follow his example here? And in doing that, would you help us to be a beacon of light, hope, and truth? Would you help us to represent you so well when we're out in the world that people that are far from you would be drawn to us through our relationship with you, and we would love them regardless of whether they're our neighbor or they're our enemy? But would you help us to do it by the power of your Holy Spirit? Rules, formulas, they're not going to get us there. Thank you for your limitless Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. Holy Spirit, as we prepare to leave here today, as we prepare to sing, would you help us to sing with our hearts? But would you send us out here with brand new eyes to repent of weak traditions and to hold on to our Savior who has set us free? Jesus, we love you. To do all that we do for your glory. It's in you.